Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Lemonada.
This is Eric Alvarez. One quick note before we begin. This episode is available in Spanish. You are listening to the English version, which means I'm going to try to say soccer instead of football. Para escucharlo en español, busca el podcast Mi Mundialista Favorito.
Man, gun control is a big issue in the U.S.
That's U.S. men's national team defender Mark McKenzie. He's visibly frustrated.
And I think everybody's talking about it now, but it's been a problem for a time to think about, you know, Sandy Hook.
The majority of those who died today were children. Beautiful little kids between the ages of 5 and 10 years old. And we're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this, regardless of the politics.
And now we're still having the same issue arise time and time again. And aside from that, you have incidents pop up in between there, you know, where we have July 4th.
Tonight, the deadly mass shooting at a 4th of July parade in a suburb of Chicago.
The voices of those who said enough include the U.S. men's national soccer team, who demanded Congress do something about gun violence in America. Here's Mark McKenzie.
We have children losing their parents and parents, you know, losing children. We have, you know, it's shameful, it's disgraceful. And as a country, we got to do better.
I'm former Colombian striker Juan Pablo Angel.
And I'm LX News host Eric Alvarez.
This is my new favorite Futbolista, where we introduce you to some of football's brightest stars and the causes they're fighting for off the pitch.
The U.S. Soccer Federation could have picked any cause to champion. Why advocate for new gun regulations? There were over 450 mass shootings in the U.S. between January and August of 2022. It's more than any other country in the world, by far. A mass shooting here is defined as a shooting where at least 4 people are shot, either injured or killed, not including the shooter, according to the Gun Violence Archive.
The death toll is now at 21. The count that we are getting, 18 children and 3 adults killed in this shooting at Uvalde, Texas, at Robb Elementary School, an elementary school that serves 2nd, 3rd, and 4th grade.
After the shooting in Uvalde, the calls for new gun regulations were loud once again. Here's Golden State Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, who used a press conference during the NBA playoffs to address the shooting that had just taken place in Uvalde.
Since we left Shoot Around, 14 children were killed 400 miles from here, and a teacher. And in the last 10 days, we've had elderly Black people killed in a supermarket in Buffalo. We've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California. And now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something?
Matthew McConaughey was at the White House on June 7th, 2 weeks after the Uvalde shooting.
Families of the deceased, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, Texas Rangers, hunters, Border Patrol, and responsible gun owners who won't give up their Second Amendment right to bear arms. And you know what they all said? We want secure and safe schools, and we want gun laws that won't make it so easy for the bad guys to get these damn guns.
On June 8th, survivors and families of those killed in Uvalde spoke to Congress. Here's Kimberly Rubio, whose 10-year-old daughter, Lexi, was shot and killed in her fourth grade classroom.
Today, we stand for Lexi. And as her voice, we demand action. Somewhere out there, there's a mom listening to our testimony, thinking, I can't even imagine their pain, not knowing that our reality will one day be hers, unless we act now.
The U.S. men's national team has a unique point of view because the best American soccer players usually spend some time playing overseas, where they often get asked about American gun culture. Here's U.S. defender DeAndre Yedlin, who played in the English Premier League from 2015 to 2021.
It got to the point where it's a little bit like, I don't even know how, I can't defend the country anymore. You know what I mean? It gets to the point where it's kind of everyday thing. And, you know, it, unfortunately, you almost become numb to it. You know, being in a country like England, where, you know, there's really no shootings at all. You know, a shooting is like, whoa, this is crazy. Here it almost feels like, you know, there's a shooting and, you know, you just go on as you know, daily life goes because we become numb to it, which I think is sad.
Honestly, it makes me feel kind of sad because, you know, it's crazy how a place where I've lived for going on 4 years now can make me feel more safe than my hometown.
U.S. defender Chris Richards is from Birmingham, Alabama. He spent 4 years playing in Germany before joining Crystal Palace in England.
Just violence in general, it's something that's really almost taboo in Germany and in Europe in general. There's so many strict gun laws that, you know, you don't ever hear about, you know, school shootings, or, you know, you really rarely hear about shootings in general. And so, and my dad tells me all the time, yeah, I feel much safer with you living in Germany than you living, or than you coming home.
You know, they're going to be ambassadors of this country to the rest of the world. And I think they understand that there is a real separation that exists between the United States and the rest of the world on this issue of guns.
U.S. Senator Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut, was not surprised to hear these stories from the U.S. men who play in Europe.
I always remember a story that an ambassador told me. He was a new ambassador to England, and he said, when I go around to schools in England, I hand out, and I'm introducing myself as the U.S. ambassador, I hand out two note cards. And one note card, I ask them to write something they like about the United States. On the other note card, I ask the kids to write something they don't understand or don't like about the United States. He said, would you believe that on two-thirds of the note cards in the latter category, it's the same exact word, guns. And so I think the men's team, right, because they travel the world, because they often live in Europe, right, they've got to be embarrassed to explain to their friends in Germany or England, why is the United States allowing this to happen?
Murphy has been one of the biggest proponents of gun safety legislation since 26 people, including 20 children, were killed in a mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in his congressional House district. Since then, it has been his mission to pass meaningful legislation in Congress. But Murphy's legislation had not been able to get over the finish line, showing how difficult it is to change gun laws in America. May 24th would become a boiling point.
We now know 18 children and three adults have been killed at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. That's outside of San Antonio.
19 students and two teachers gunned down with an automatic weapon at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. This just 10 days after a gunman killed 10 at a Buffalo, New York supermarket. This was Murphy on the floor of the Senate after the shooting.
What are we doing? What are we doing? Just days after a shooter walked into a grocery store to gun down African-American patrons, we have another Sandy Hook on our hands. What are we doing? There have been more mass shootings than days in the year. Our kids are living in fear every single time they set foot in a classroom because they think they're going to be next. What are we doing? These kids weren't unlucky. This only happens in this country and nowhere else. Nowhere else do little kids go to school thinking that they might be shot that day. Nowhere else do parents have to talk to their kids, as I have had to do, about why they got locked into a bathroom and told to be quiet for 5 minutes just in case a bad man entered that building. Nowhere else does that happen except here in the United States of America, and it is a choice. It is our choice to let it continue.
2 weeks later, the U.S. men's national team penned a letter to Congress imploring them to vote yes on bipartisan gun legislation. Coach Greg Berhalter is very proud that his players took action.
Sometimes it's easy to get caught up in our little world and what we're doing, and you forget about what's happening in the outside world. But, you know, this group certainly didn't do that.
Here's U.S. Defender Walker Zimmerman the day the letter was sent.
It's not something that we just want to keep in our thoughts and prayers, even though those things are also very important, but we want to be a team that takes action.
So what happened in the locker room to get players to demand action? Here's DeAndre Edlin.
As a team, we spoke about, you know, that we needed to do something, but it's kind of like, what do you do? You know, I think you can go out and wear shirts, but it's pretty cliche. You know what I mean? Everybody's doing that now. We can say a statement on Twitter, but, you know, everybody does that. I think, you know, you have to get to the root and the people that have the power to make a real change. And I was Congress. So, you know, we decided, you know, that would be, you know, the fastest route, route one. We have a big platform. And at that point we felt that that was the group that we needed to really get to try and make a change.
Mark McKenzie had family top of mind as he pushed for the team to take action.
Parents are sending their children to school. I went to school, I think about years ago. My parents let me get on the school bus and allow my school bus to take me to school and to get a notification from the news that there was a shooting at your child's school. And what now runs through your brain, you know, that's something, you know, I couldn't even fathom, you know, and I'm praying for all those families who have lost because of. But yeah, I think that was a big initiative, you know, and a big reason as to why we wanted to kind of take that step. And we have parents as well who are, you know, we have dads on the team. You know, we have moms on the national team as well. So when you think about that and you think about the emotions that are connected to it, I think it was only right, you know, for us as a federation to take that step as a team, you know. So I can only pray that yeah, more regulations are put in place to kind of take military grade weaponry, or honestly weaponry, you know, that's unnecessarily on the streets, you know, out of the streets, you know, and out of the wrong hands.
With pressure mounting from people across the country, it seemed Congress was willing to listen. Senator Murphy joined with a bipartisan group of senators, including Arizona Democrat Kyrsten Sinema and Republicans John Cornyn of Texas and Tom Tillis of North Carolina, to work on legislation to help stop gun violence.
Well, obviously, what happened in Uvalde and what happened in Buffalo back to back was cataclysmic. Sandy Hook was 10 years ago. This was the worst elementary school shooting since Sandy Hook, and there were just a lot of parents and kids out there who were not going to accept nothing once again from the United States Congress. But over the last 10 years, since Sandy Hook, we've been building up movement around changing our gun laws that's gotten stronger and stronger and stronger every year. And that movement really got to the point this year where it was more powerful than the gun industry and the gun lobby and all of that sort of input into members of the Senate and members of Congress made a big difference.
June 24th, the Senate passed the bipartisan Safer Communities Act, sending it to the president's desk to sign it into law. Here's Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, a Republican from Kentucky.
This time, the Democrats came our way. The result is a product I'm proud to support.
And one of the bill's co-authors, Texas Republican Senator John Cornyn.
Tonight, people who have suffered unthinkable losses of loved ones in some of these mass shooting incidents. But I wanted to tell them that their advocacy has turned their pain into something positive.
The bill was signed into law by President Joe Biden on June 25th. It requires more background checks, adds convicted domestic violence abusers to the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, sets aside $750 million for crisis intervention, increases registration of licensed firearm dealers, and provides $15 billion in mental health funding and school security. Here's President Biden at an event celebrating the passage of the bill.
What we're doing here today is real. It's vivid. It's relevant. The action we take today is a step designed to make our nation the kind of nation we should be. It's about the most fundamental of things, the lives of our children, of our loved ones. We face literally a moral choice in this country, moral choice with profound real world implications. Will we take wise steps to fulfill the responsibility to protect the innocent and while keeping faith with the constitutional rights? Will we match thought?
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Thoughts and prayers with action. I say yes. And that's what we're doing here today.
It was just a monumental kind of day, moment, just as you're aware of the first type of gun sense legislation that's been passed in almost 30 years. So that was huge in itself. But at the same time, it was it's tragic, right? Because at the event, you also see a lot of the families who have been traumatized by the gun violence that is so pervasive in our country.
That's former U.S. men's national team midfielder Alejandro Bedoya, who currently plays for the Philadelphia Union in Major League Soccer. He was in attendance at President Biden's event that day and is no stranger to speaking up against gun violence. On August 4th, 2019, Bedoya scored a goal for the Union against D.C. United, just miles away from the U.S. Capitol, and after a quick celebration with his teammates, ran over to an on-field microphone and yelled this.
Hey, Congress, do something now! End gun violence! Let's go!
What was going on at the, at least here in the States that weekend was that the El Paso shooting happened and the Dayton shooting happened, you know, less than 24 hours apart that weekend. And I'm in my hotel room in D.C. No matter where I flip the channel, it was the coverage, was the shootings. So that was all that was on my mind, really. Yeah, I had a game to play, a competitive game that matters for the league. But at the same time, I couldn't wrap my head around the fact that, you know, these communities, not only the victims, but their families and the whole community and everything was, you know, greatly affected and traumatized by another or more mass shootings.
That game was played a day after mass shootings in both El Paso, Texas and Dayton, Ohio, which combined to kill 32 people, injuring dozens more.
When I play the game, of course, you know, you have all these emotions running through your head. And as an athlete, you're used to compartmentalizing things, right? Your thoughts and just being able to focus and shift. I couldn't.
Those in the stadium were cheering for the goal, so they couldn't hear what Bedoya said into the microphone. But people watching at home and online heard loud and clear, and they were talking.
I remember going into halftime, there's a police officer by the sidelines, actually, right by the tunnel. And he just mentioned to me, like, I didn't know what you said initially, but, you know, I got a lot of texts and thanks for what you said. And so at that moment, going into the tunnel in the locker room at halftime, like, I kind of knew, I guess, maybe that it was a viral moment, perhaps, you know, after the game, you know, I checked my phone, my battery was pretty much like dead, I guess, from all the buzzing and vibrating from all the calls and messages I had received.
Bedoya, like many Americans, has had gun violence hit close to home. He grew up in Weston, Florida, about 20 miles from Parkland. He even played matches at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. After that shooting, he decided to start speaking up on gun violence.
Some people try to say, get politics out of sports or this and that. But for me, you know, this isn't really a political issue. I try to be as nonpartisan as possible and just come at an angle where, you know, I'm a father, you know, I'm a neighbor, I'm a community member. I'm somebody who's seen my teammates and neighbors, you know, be directly affected by gun violence. So it really hit home.
As a former member of the U.S. men's national team, nobody understood better what it took to come together and send a powerful letter to Congress.
I think I was very proud when I did see that letter. It just means that the guys, it feels like the guys are very united, you know, and together. And they felt strongly enough where they wanted to share a letter together. And I think it came from the Federation, too. So that's a big kind of backing and support there. But like I said, I think, you know, it wasn't anything political or anything, right? It was more of just coming at an angle from, you know, this is something that we are living with in our society, in our country, you know, as members of a team that is representing the country. You know, we just want our society to get better. Nobody wants, you know, what's the price of freedom if we have to be worried about, you know, getting shot up, going to the grocery store, just dropping our kids off at schools, you know, going to see a movie at a movie theater. You know, it's just so pervasive in our country that, you know, it just needs to, you know, we need to put it as much as an end to it as we can.
Of course, the bill didn't pass just because the U.S. men's national team wrote a letter to Congress. But Senator Murphy says their voices do help.
It does definitely help to move the debate here, because I think a lot of, you know, members of Congress think that they can vote against 80% of their constituents on an issue like guns and get away with it. But when you see sort of unfamiliar spokesmen for the cause stepping up, it does help to show that this is an exceptional moment and that maybe this time you're not going to be able to get away with voting the wrong way.
Amy Bass is a professor of sports studies at Manhattanville College, focusing on the intersection of sports, culture, and politics, and authored the book One Goal. She says the most striking thing about the men's team taking a stand is that they did it together.
I think the interesting piece of the U.S. men's team is the collective, and that's always an interesting movement in sports, that we've had lots of individuals staking claim, right? We've had the Muhammad Ali moments, which, you know, who better personified how to be a political being in an athletic context.
Outside of the boxing ring, Ali championed many human and civil rights. But most famously, he refused to be inducted in the U.S. Army after being drafted during the Vietnam War. Ali gave up years of his career and millions of dollars in a fight that he ultimately won after a legal battle went all the way to the Supreme Court.
With the team, you have a different kind of stance, because now you're talking about an entire team making this decision. And I think collective politics, as we have seen most recently again with the WNBA and the NBA, are far more powerful than individual politics.
Bass points to a recent example from the 2020 election.
I think that the best example we've seen in the contemporary moment of how athletes can push the needle on politics is the WNBA and the Senate race in Georgia. If you look at what Raphael Warnock was polling at when he first entered the race that August, I think it was like 8 or 9%, and then he goes on to win that seat. And I think that the WNBA, with their t-shirts, with their campaigning, their Vote Warnock, he was running against a co-owner of the Atlanta team.
Kelly Loeffler, a Republican candidate for one of Georgia's Senate seats, was part owner of the WNBA's team in Atlanta, the Dream. In July 2020, while the country was in the middle of a social justice movement after the murder of George Floyd and the killing of Breonna Taylor, Loeffler wrote a letter to WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert, criticizing a plan the WNBA had in place to include the phrase Black Lives Matter on the league's basketball courts and Breonna Taylor's name on the backs of jerseys.
I had to speak out.
In an interview on Fox News, Loeffler called the phrase divisive and Marxist. WNBA players condemned Loeffler's letter and began to take action.
A political statement tonight from members of the Atlanta Dream against their owner.
In August 2020, players from all 12 WNBA teams, including Loeffler's own team, wore black shirts that read Vote Warnock across the chest in white, sending a clear political message of support for Loeffler's opponent, Democrat Raphael Warnock. The momentum continued across the league, and Warnock won the runoff election, becoming Georgia's first black senator. In 2021, Loeffler sold her share of the Atlanta Dream.
They flipped the Senate, so it doesn't get much more powerful than that.
And while the U.S. men's soccer team came together to take a stand, Bass says their message was not as partisan as you might think.
I think that the U.S. men's team has vocalized this really well. They've articulated really well that they are global athletes, right? These are individuals who play in other countries, who play for other, you know, professional teams, not in the United States, and they have gotten to experience sort of the shock and awe and horror of other countries in the world looking at the United States and the rates of gun violence and death by gun in this country. So I don't know that it really is as much of a partisan issue as we see, because I think that global stage has helped soccer players come to this moment when they get to experience, and some of them have talked about this directly, when they get to experience the reaction of something like Uvalde, Texas, through the eyes of a teammate in another country. Why does this keep happening? Why does this keep happening? Why does this keep happening? It puts them in a really unique position.
The U.S. men's national team will have an even bigger platform as they take the pitch in Qatar at the 2022 FIFA World Cup. Senator Murphy hopes their work of being outspoken is just getting started.
Well, I think the great frustration about, you know, this issue is that there's a lot of attention right after a mass shooting. And then it fades. And I think, you know, sometimes people look at athletes and celebrities that way and say, well, yeah, they're going to speak up after Uvalde, but are they really going to stay part of the movement? Are they going to stay connected to, you know, the groups like Students Demand Action or March for Our Lives that do this work? So, you know, my hope is that members of the team who are going to be even bigger household names at the World Cup are going to come back and then use that power to, you know, help grow this movement, no matter whether there's been a mass shooting in the last week. That's my help. And I think it would help for them to sort of share that international experience, to say, you know, listen, I live in Germany. No kid in Germany has to worry about going to school and getting shot. I live in England. The churches are safe places in England, right? So I think that international experience, those stories would help as well.
Yedlin understands the platform the team has and the importance of their actions.
It's not just to look good in media or to, you know what I mean, get kudos from everybody else. It's to actually make a real change. And, we have the power to do that, especially with, you know, social media and things like that, where, you know, our platforms are bigger and we have the power to, you know, reach tons and tons and tons of people between all of us. That's why we do it, is ultimately to change things that need to be changed.
On the next episode of My New Favorite Futbolista.
Ferran Torres has grown up surrounded by dogs all his life. Now the Spanish forward is fighting to make sure stray dogs have a shot at life.
We'll always try to help those dogs have a home or have a place where they can eat and take refuge.
Get to know Ferran Torres on the next episode of My New Favorite Futbolista. Thank you for listening to My New Favorite Futbolista. There will be over 500 players at the World Cup, so we have more inspiring stories to tell. Go back to the My New Favorite Futbolista feed right now to hear previous episodes, and make sure to subscribe to get future episodes automatically downloaded to your device. This episode of My New Favorite Futbolista was produced by LX News and Telemundo. Juan Pablo Angel and I were your hosts. Jeremy Berg wrote and edited this episode. Fernando Hurtado and Seth Rubenroyt were the supervising producers. Jeremy Berg and Matt Goldberg served as executive producers. Tony Pierce was the motion graphics designer with support from Aaron Pennell. Justin Covington, Brad Fawcett, James Jeffrey, Huatzin Gutierrez, and Sanjesh Singh were the production crew. Stephen Dawson was the media manager and quality control editor.